We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Jetta Cameron, John Ritz, it is 94 WIP. Our Twitter poll question of the day is brought to us by the Casino at Delaware Park. Casino at Delaware Park open with limited hours for slot machine gaming only. Visit DelawarePark.com for details. Lottery agent for the Delaware Lottery. You must be 21 to play. Today's question, which sport do you miss the most right now? A, baseball. B, basketball. C, hockey. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. We'll update you on the results as we move through the show. All right, let's go out on the Swartz Culleton guest line right now. If you're injured at work, get justice. Call Swartz Culleton at 800-JUSTICE. Heavy conversation today about baseball. A lot going on. We'll get to that and more with our next guest. He is, of course, the Hall of Famer, the great Ray Dininger. Ray Diddy, how are you, sir?
Fine, Joe. How are you?
Good, Ray. Ray, I was thinking of you the other day with everything going on in the city, and we'll just start with that, and then we'll get to sports. But I know you live in Rittenhouse, and I was, you know, concerned for you. What do you make of this situation, Ray? What's happening in our city and in America? And obviously destruction has calmed down. Just your wisdom as you apply it to how you see what's happening.
Well, it's pretty scary. I know that what we saw here on Saturday night was really awful. You know, I feel really bad because we've been here long enough now that we've gotten to know some of the people in the community, some of the business people who were, 3 weeks ago or so, talking about maybe seeing the end of the coronavirus situation and maybe getting back, opening their doors, getting back to business and getting their businesses back on their feet. And, now that's been set back yet again. And there are a lot of people here, a lot of really good people that have done wonderful work serving the community, who are now, flat on their butts again. And it's really sad. I think that, we had Glenn and I spent, on Sunday, we talked before that we did the show, the 10-1, and we said, how are we going to approach this?
Yep.
Are we going to try and come on and talk about Jalen Reagor and Jalen Hurts? Are we going to just try and pretend, that none of this is happening? Or are we going to look out the window and try and live in the real world? And we said, yeah, there's no way we cannot do that.
Sure.
So we spent 3 hours talking about it. And it was, I don't know that we came up with any answers. Obviously, we didn't. I don't know that there are any easy ones, but we tried. And I think everybody in their own way is that's kind of where we are right now. We're trying to, calm everything down, make sense out of what's happened, pick up the pieces and move forward, that's where I am. And I think that's where everybody is.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Ray Dininger with us here, Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie on WIP. Ray, let's get to, we're hoping sports comes back and, we feel pretty confident some others will, but baseball, wow, teetering. Ray, if there's no season in 2020, what do you think the actual impact will be? Not what people say the impact will be now, but the actual impact on baseball in America, Major League Baseball in 2021 and beyond. If there's no season this year, what do you think happens?
I'm not going to say they're going to, go out of business, but I think the effects will be enormous. Because baseball, frankly, has not recovered from 1994. It hasn't. There are a lot of people that just haven't come back.
That's a really small group, right? Really, really, really small?
What's that?
That people didn't come back from 94. Do you personally know anybody that has chosen not to watch baseball?
Oh, yeah.
Is it two people or 10?
It's people within my circle.
Wow.
That that really seriously have zero interest now. But I think they're like people my age, okay? But I think the greater fear is that you're just going to lose all the younger fans. Mm-hmm. You know, who are already moving away from baseball in large numbers.
Right.
You know, and as the population ages and those of us that are remain baseball fans just on memory, as we die off, as we're doing every day, I don't see the young generation coming along to take our place. And mm-hmm. you know, the one thing that and Glenn and I were kicking this around a little bit over the weekend. The one thing that baseball always had going for it was growing up, everybody played baseball. I mean, everybody played baseball. You know, it wasn't everybody that played high school football. It wasn't everybody that could play really organized basketball. They played pickup stuff. But everybody played baseball. Everybody played Little League. And, you know, and when you weren't playing Little League, you played pickup games in the afternoon. Baseball was part of your identity. I mean, the idea of it, the national pastime, it was real. I mean, it was true. But that's not true anymore. I mean, you know, kids today largely aren't playing baseball. And so the idea that, you know, you had those young generations of young kids who played baseball, understood baseball, lived baseball, would grow up and later on become that was your fan support, and that's not there in any true numbers now. And so if you lose the older fans, who are now going to be, you know, turned off by their both sides' inability to arrive at any kind of a reasonable conclusion on this, you know, and they just turn their back on it. I don't think the younger people aren't going to rise up to save it.
Right.
And you know, and no one's really talking about the fate of the minor leagues, but the minor leagues are basically being snuffed out. Yeah, Joe. I mean, I'm not talking about a apocalyptic situation that in 5 years there won't be baseball. But I don't think I really think if they somehow shut this game down and don't play at all this year, I think the backlash is going to be such that in 5 years there'll be baseball, but I don't know that a whole lot of people are going to care one way or another.
So you're saying it feels to you like baseball is treating this like there's a safety net for them that does not exist? Are like the way they're dealing with everything going on right now? My perception personally is that they have a false sense of security.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with that? Like,
yeah, I do. With the emphasis on the word false.
Yeah.
You know, I think that they're, I think they're in the middle of this whole thing, and they just always assume that baseball is baseball and they'll always be TV. And, mm-hmm. you know, and I think they still cling to the idea of the national pastime without the reality of, you know, I mean, they are so overshadowed by football, and now they're overshadowed by basketball. I mean, basketball is a bigger game in this country than baseball is. Mm-hmm. But they still feel like, oh, come on, it's baseball, you know, and they'll always be baseball and there'll always be money and there'll always be people who want to watch. Well, that's, you know, the numbers don't really support that. And if they really do mess this thing up, if they really do botch this thing and don't come back and play at all this year, yeah, I think I think the blowback on it is going to be really bad, and I think you can kind of tell it now in some of the statements that Manfred is making now. I mean, he's beginning to sound, I don't want to say panic stricken, but I think he more than anybody else realizes, you know, the deep dark hole they're looking down into, and he does not want to go there.
It was an interesting point brought up by a caller earlier, who felt like there are less top-end baseball players out there now when you look at, you know, say the mid-80s, 85. He said it's easy to rattle off the huge stars from then. Try to name 10 huge stars now. Is that because they're just less publicized? They don't focus on promoting those guys? Or is baseball itself taking a step back in terms of the quality of play, the excellence of play?
I think the game, and this is coming from somebody who really likes baseball and covered baseball, you know, for many years. I don't think the game is as interesting. I don't think the game is as good as it was. I don't think it's as much fun to watch. You know,
I totally agree with that, Ray. I mean, I love it, but I agree with you. The three-run home run thing, that's just one of many things that has created less interest to me than the way the game was played, you know, when I was growing up.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I definitely feel that way. I, and I, um, I mean, the games are, you know, the games are too long. The pace of the game is it's torpid. I mean, it just especially in a society where everything is moving faster and faster all the time, baseball's moving slower and slower. And that's tough to sell. And I think they're seeing that. It's really funny because there has been no live sports now. There's been a lot of back in the day programming on the various TV channels now. And there's been, like on ESPN and some of the others, they've run some old baseball games, some classic baseball games. And I'm just struck by how fast the game moved back then. You know, I mean, I was watching one game, and it was, I think it was like from the 19th, it might have been the Pirates Yankees 1960 World Series. In fact, that's what it was. And the first thing that jumped out at me was, number one, the pitcher never stepped off the rubber. And the other thing, which was even more noticeable to me, was the batter never stepped out of the box. I mean, the batter just, you know, there was no fiddling around with the gloves. There was no adjusting. There was no outside getting the dirt in the hands. I mean, guy stepped in the batter's box. He stayed in the batter's box. The pitcher stayed on the mound.
When did that start, Ray?
What's
like,
that?
When did this whole, like, adjust your gloves after every pitch thing start? Where did it come from? Why has it been allowed?
Don't know. I don't know. I mean, I'd like to just say it was Mike Hargrove, but he was just the worst example of it. But he didn't start it. I don't know. I can't point to a specific year when it did. I can't point to a specific guy or a reason. It just became almost a stylist kind of thing. That this was just a way to get a little more face time, be on camera a little bit longer. And, you know, and as you saw more guys do it, then younger guys began adopting it, and it just became sort of acceptable.
Right.
I've always been opposed to the idea of putting a clock in baseball. You know, the idea of putting a watch on how you got to throw a pitch within 30 seconds. A guy can't step out of the box more than once. I mean, I don't want to put artificial rules in place that have never been there. But when you watch baseball now, and with all the pitching changes and all the moves, and the way the game just creeps along to where a 2-1 9-inning game can last 3.5 hours,
yeah.
You know, in today's world, that's just a tough sell, and that's what baseball's dealing with.
It's terrible. You're right. Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie, Ray Dininger with us as well. It's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia. Of course, we broadcast from the Tasty Cake studio. All right, Ray, so specific to baseball here, two-part question. June 3rd now. Today's date. Do you think we will have a baseball season? And the second part of this question, in your opinion, as a longtime baseball fan, what is the minimum number of games that you feel needs to be played in a regular season for the season to have any sort of legitimacy?
I have always been, and I say this without apology, I have always been a glass half full kind of guy. So I'm gonna take the optimistic view of this and say, you know, these guys, I mean, they can be dumb, and we've seen them be dumb many times over the years, but I can't believe they could be this dumb to just wipe out the season. So yes, I do believe we will have a baseball season. How many games do they have to play to give it any semblance of legitimacy?
Yeah.
You know, the number that they've been throwing around is 80. You know, 82 games. I think that's probably about right. I think if you play 82 games, when it's all said and done, you can crown a legitimate champion. If you try to sell me 40, I'm not going to buy it. But I think, the clock is ticking here.
Yep.
On this. I mean, they don't have. I saw Tony Clark being interviewed like last week, and he seems like a pretty sensible guy. And the interviewer said to him, well, you know, time is of the, you know, whose side is time on right now? And he said, time's on nobody's side. You know, no, time is not on anyone's side right now. I mean, it's pressing equally on the owners and the players, because they've been trying all along here, and the idea has been, and it's a good idea, is to relaunch the season over 4th of July weekend. And that makes perfect sense to me. Because, I mean, it's a national holiday anyway. Welcome the game back. Everybody feels good. And if you start then you can get 82 games in pretty realistically. But to do that, you know, you have to come to agreement like right now. I mean, they probably don't have more than a week to get this thing worked out if they're really going to hit their target date. So, and right now, I don't even know if they're talking.
Incredible. Ray Dininger with us. Ray, let's hop into football here for a second. I'm curious,
you know, we are next month we could have training camp in the NFL at the end of the month in July, end of July. The Dallas Cowboys, when you look around, are favorite to win the division. Not by a ton over the Eagles, but they are the favorite team to win the division. In your opinion, which team should be favored to win the division, the Cowboys or the Eagles?
Right now, I would probably say the Cowboys. You know, not overwhelmingly, but I think right now I would probably lean towards them. You know, I think that I've always been a Mike McCarthy fan. I think he's a good coach. I think he's a much better coach than Garrett.
Yes.
I look at that, and to me, that's a big upgrade. Now, whenever you're talking about coaching with the Cowboys, then the question remains: how much is Jerry going to let him coach? You know, how you can bring in anybody, but if Jerry's still the guy making the decisions, then that's a problem. Mm-hmm. But I think McCarthy certainly makes them stronger in that area. I thought they had a very good draft. I mean, and a little lucky. I mean, a couple things happened. The guys were available to them
sure. When
I didn't think they would, starting off with CeeDee Lamb and everything else. Kind of, there's sometimes you have a year in a draft where things just fall into place for you, you know, and sometimes it's your good strategy that allows that to happen. Sometimes you just get lucky. And I think in a few cases here, the Cowboys got a little lucky. But the end result was it was a really good draft.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then just a couple weeks ago, you know, they signed Aldon Smith, which, look, I don't know what he's going to be at this point in his career. I mean, maybe he can't get it back. But if he gets back anything of like what he was, boy, that's a big upgrade.
That's what I'm saying. These guys bashed me for saying that was a good
signing.
Well, it's been, you know, Joe, that was sort of my first reaction. Because I looked, I said, it's been 4 years since this guy played, you know. But I don't know. I mean, I read a couple interviews with him where he said, you know, he realizes for sure this is his last chance.
Yeah.
That he's been straight and clean for more than a year now. And he realizes that he's thrown away a good portion of his career, but he doesn't want to throw away the whole career. And so he's sounding like a guy who's kind of figured it out and wants to come back and give it one more shot.
Right.
And all I know is the guy that I saw when he was playing in San Francisco, I mean, there were games where he was unblockable.
Yeah.
So I don't expect him to come back to that level. But if he comes back well enough that he can be even close to what he was, then, you know, then that's one more significant piece for their defense.
Now you got that opposite DeMarcus Lawrence.
Yeah.
It's ugly.
And really good linebacker.
Thinking about it. Yeah.
Really good linebacker.
The best linebacking core in the NFL. And we have the worst in the NFL. I am convinced of that. Hey, Ray, last thing for me. The power rankings, recent power rankings from Sports Illustrated, Peter King, ESPN. Everyone has the Eagles behind the Cowboys. But some of these rankings are not good. Sports Illustrated has the Eagles 13th. Peter King has them 15th. Are people underestimating the Eagles, or are they realistic?
I saw USA Today was right in the middle of that. USA Today had them 14th. Where did most of these people come down on the Cowboys? Because USA
better
Today
than the Eagles.
Yeah, the USA Today, and this was like. I guess it was like a week after the draft, so it's a little dated. But they had Dallas 8, and they had the Eagles 14. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a little high for the Cowboys and a little low for the Eagles. I actually think they'd be a little closer than that. Mm-hmm. But that seems to be conventional wisdom right now, is that the Cowboys are a top 10 team and the Eagles aren't. Are people underestimating them? Maybe a little bit. I mean, they still have good players here. They still have a really good quarterback. I think they've. The addition of Slay should answer their biggest problem from last year, which is they now have a legitimate corner that can line up and play. They'll miss Jenkins, but I mean he was a big addition. Hargrave was a big addition on the defensive line. So at 14, I think they're at 14, 15. I think they're a little underrated, but I would still put them behind Dallas right now, but not leaps and bounds behind Dallas. By the way, I don't know if you guys saw this. That no team is going to go away to training camp this year.
Yeah.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, the Eagles haven't done it now for a while. I mean, they left Lehigh and moved into the NovaCare complex a few years ago. So that's nothing new for them, But there are some teams where this was part of their identity. Was they, you know, for years and years, I mean, the Green Bay Packers went away to St. Norbert's in upstate Wisconsin for 60 years.
Mm.
I mean, they were going up there back in the Lombardi days. And the, you know, the Steelers were going out to St. Vincent's out in Latrobe outside of Pittsburgh for more than 50 years. You know, that became part of the identity of those teams. And, you know, those are communities that, I mean, economically really relied on that, you know, that business that was being brought in there for 6-7 weeks in the summertime. And I understand that they don't want to do the traveling thing, and they want to try and keep everybody, you know, within the complex. But, you know, I hope this doesn't become a permanent thing. I hope that if the world does return to normal, that, you know, the teams that really want to go away to training camp will be able to go away to training camp. But at least for this summer, we're not going to see it.
There you go. Ray, stay safe. Great stuff. Two different topics, a lot of stuff. Appreciate your insight as always, Ray. Thanks, Ray.
Always my pleasure. Have a great day, guys.
There he is, the Hall of Famer, Ray Dittinger. Let's go right to the phones. Let's talk to Andy in Deptford. Andy, what's going on, buddy?
Yeah, what's good, guys? How we doing?
Hi, Andy.
With the whole baseball thing, I definitely think they're going to take a huge hit. I mean, you look at the sport, I really don't think it ever evolved with the modern fan. You look at basketball in the 90s, grinding, hard defense. You know, nobody really wants to see that now. Now, you know, the Splash Brothers, you bring the Euro step in, everybody's scoring a lot of points. The young fans are engaged. You look at football in the 90s. I love football in the 90s. It was great. You think anybody wants to see a 10-7 game right
well,
now?
Well, so let me – it's
a
funny.
A 14-3 game. So what they do, they adjusted the rules to make it more offensive-oriented, and everyone's engaged. Fantasy football, the young kids, the old heads, everyone's involved. Hockey did the same thing. They removed the goons. They made it faster. They made it more scoring. Baseball never took that next step. And until they do that, I mean, and look what they're doing now. It's even hurting them even more. But until they take that next step, you're never going to get that young kid engaged. Like you're saying, John, my kids go to the baseball game. What do they want? They want the ice cream cup.
Yeah.
They want to walk around. They want to buy the new Fnatic thing they're selling.
Yeah.
The last
like
thing they're doing is sitting there watching the
watch.
Game.
Right, right.
I mean, and until they evolve into attracting that fan, they're going to keep running into this problem. Like Ray was saying, once the older people, unfortunately, once they die off, baseball is going to have an even bigger problem.
Well, baseball is going to have that. That is an issue 20 to 40 years from now as people die. That
I don't think it's 20 to 40.
Well,
I think it's,
listen,
I mean, it's
I'm
right now,
but remember
now.
This, Andy. I'm 42.
Absolutely.
I'm still
going
to be
here and now. Joe, you are the outlier.
You got your age right. Congratulations,
Joe.
Buddy.
Because
you
understand.
You got your age right.
You're exactly who they're targeting, and there are no people like you.
I think
you are weird.
James is like me.
I'm 38. I love baseball more than anything else. It's my favorite sport. Nothing's close.
Majority of America, I think, would rank the sports in this order right now. Right now, 2020. Football, one, without a doubt. Basketball, two, creeping. Three, baseball, but hockey's right there at four.
It's not right.
It's
now.
Not,
and
it's
I don't
not,
even
not.
Think that's debatable.
No, Andy, it is.
And I don't
You're
know
wrong.
About that two or three either. I've wondered about that. I do not
what?
Know. NBA or baseball?
Oh, you're kidding me. NBA definitely
Andy,
passed
the
baseball.
NBA, the NBA's
Andy,
top,
I agree with you.
That's not
I,
even
I'm
arguable. NBA surpassed
it
baseball.
Is arguable.
They lapped
it's
baseball.
It's extremely arguable. Extremely arguable. Andy, what do you got here for a space-related show or movie?
What about... Did anybody go with Spaceballs?
Yes.
All right. What about anybody go with Howard the Duck?
No. You got All it, right. buddy. All
Howard
right.
the Duck.
Leah Thompson, Howard the Duck. Big fan. I'll leave it at that. 215-592-9494. Speaking of things I was big fans of, we all were, how one of the most iconic plays in Philadelphia sports history almost was an early peaker. What do I mean? I'll tell you next. What we know it as almost wasn't what it was, and it's iconic. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.